of tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, September the 4th, 2009. Jim Landry is the speaker of the service, teaching on Spirit of Gambling.
Brother Jim Landry, you don't need to sit down because we Sir. Would like to have you come up tonight and share what the Lord has given you. Brother Jim is a faithful helper, friend, pastor, mentor, director, one of the directors, board of trustees of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And it's an honor to have you and to serve with you, and we bless you.
All right. God bless you. Right. Love you. God bless you. Thank you, God. Good evening, everyone. We just believe God that He's going to set us free tonight. Amen? How many need some deliverance? Let me say I'm the first one. I believe God that He's going to take care of us tonight. I have a lot of information to share with you, and I want to try to, if it's possible, do some deliverance tonight. Because I know that this subject, I'm going to speak on gambling, what the scriptures have to say about this risk-taking, particularly that's taking place in the church. And I want to try to give you as much information as I have before we get to the actual deliverance aspect of it. Because on a subject as unique as this, most people already have said in their hearts, I'm singing to the choir. Because I've never gambled before. But maybe I'm going to share some things all the way back from your youth where you took risk-taking bets and you just never thought about it. So if you were like me saying, well, I never gambled before, well, maybe some things will be said tonight that will cause you to be aware of maybe some things in the background, the family background, forefathers that may have gambled, and this could be the problems that you're having today with financial issues, other addictions that you may be suffering with. Amen? So, Father, we just want to thank you right now. We just pray for the Holy Spirit to come and just fill this place and touch us and bring conviction of our sins, and that we might enter into a relationship with you, God, where we just desire, God, just to sincerely repent and sincerely confess our sins and the sins of our forefathers. We want anything to do with risk-taking and gambling off of us and off of our seed. We want to speak blessings to our family and blessings to our seed. And so, Lord, we ask you, God, to open our eyes and open our understanding tonight. And if this is an issue that we need to deal with in our lives, or if this is a training module, because soon we're going to counsel other people who are going to have this problem, then whatever the situation is, God, we want to make sure that we are here and we're on the potter's wheel and we're here to be restored and to get knowledge and wisdom from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God that our nation is recognizing this Labor Day for the hard labors of God's people and the people of this nation, but not everyone works. Some people only hustle. Now, but I'm mindful of the scriptures where it says, "The man don't work, he ought not eat." Huh? He ought not be eating on me or you. Everybody know the neighbor that borrows the sugar every day. I'm talking about the ones that don't work. I'm not talking. I want to give my neighbor sugar and eggs. And my neighbor, I have had neighbors come next door and ask for eggs. But I would not feel so content to want to give them the eggs when I know they were spending all the money at the casino on Friday night. So do you know if your forefathers participated in gambling? I know this is a problem and issue that we just assume is not in the church. But I'm going to be dealing with it both from the worldly perspective, but I'm going to place great emphasis on the church because most of the people that I know that are gambling today are in the church. I'm not in the world. Gambling used to be what a few unscrupulous people did with the aid of organized crime. But today gambling affects nearly everyone, and as more and more states try to legalize forms of gambling, We're going to find that already there are over 47 states that have legalized gambling, and there are, as well as in the District of Columbia. Amen. Amen. Gambling has never enjoyed a very good reputation among those who study sociology. True statesmen, the patriots, and legislators do not have much good to say for gambling. Recently, the Chicago Crime Commission questioned district attorneys from throughout the United States of America concerning their opinion on legalized gambling, and almost 100% present were against it. George Washington was a believer in and frequently quoted the French proverb, "Gambling is the child of greed, the brother of iniquity, and the father of mischief." Thomas Jefferson said, "Gambling corrupts our dispositions and teaches us the habit of hostility against mankind." The great statesman, Benjamin Franklin, says, "Keep flax from fire, youth from gambling." Statesmen, leaders such as these cannot be brushed aside as unimportant. They were concerned about the orderly moral development of our nation. They felt that gambling would be a hindrance to such. Well, we have no doubt strayed away from that concern that they had for the moral development of our nation. We are seeing a shift in the government behavior. Gambling, which is bad and profitable, has almost been totally legalized throughout the United States of America. It appeared that the attitude, if you can't beat them, join them. In fact, there appears to be a potential for legalizing marijuana in California. And if it passes, like other states, like gambling, it's going to turn into a wildfire. It'll be very difficult to contain it. Legalized gambling is also bad government policy. Government should promote public virtue, not seduce its citizens to gamble. Government is supposed to be a ministry of God according to Romans 13 chapter. But its moral stance, the moral stance of the government, is compromised when it enters into a gambling enterprise. So you and I have a responsibility to tell our legislators what we believe, voting for legislators that will not compromise the word of God. Otherwise, the devil will cause the people of the democracy to vote risks instead of facts, and this is what they're going to believe is going to bring them change. Take a chance. The National Gambling Impact Study Commission did some studies over the recent years. There were 445 casinos in 28 states that allow commercial casinos, and 11 states that had tribal gaming establishments, nearly 200 tribes. I didn't know they were that many tribes. Operate close to 350 casinos. 7 states have 23 racetracks, and 5 states allow car rooms. A survey of Gamblers Anonymous members in the United States found that 48% even considered suicide, 13% attempted it. Each year, the armed forces takes in more than $120 million on the base slot machines, $7 billion from the Army bingo at home. These funds help pay for recreation programs for the troops. In a study founded, I don't want to get into that because we got a whole lot of studies. In the 1960s, there was an individual by the name of Tom James who came to our city, Beaumont, Texas. Beaumont, Texas is a unique city there. God has raised up Brother Glenn was there in the 70s, I think, with Derek Prince, and Win Worley's came through there, and many, many other mentors, and then all of a sudden there's been great revival in that area of spiritual warfare and deliverance. And so I don't have time to go over all of those details of what's taking place, but I believe it's important that we start somewhere for God to move. And we thank God for these apostles that came in the early years and sowed the word of God, and now we're starting to reap some harvest there, but not without conflict. James, from the James Commission, was the vice chair for the General Investigating Committee of the 57th Legislature. The committee determined in 1961 that law enforcement, judges, attorneys, and the grand jury were entangled in illegal enterprises that have been an integral part of the local economy since the spindletop boom. The discovery led to numerous terminations and jail sentences. Okay, then there's some other things about this. By interviewing some of the key players years later that are still alive, some of the family members of the madams. We had big prostitution ring in our city. Big, big time. Now, my pastor, Harlan Dean, who's still alive, Brother Glenn is my pastor also. Okay, I'm under authority. I got all of my mentors. I have a local pastor at home too. And whenever he goes, people, Lord, unless I go first, I'm going to have another one. In words, because the guy that's preaching over his place is Brother Ed. I already told Ed, you my pastor. He said, I need to be under you. I said, I'm under you. I went first. Real authority, look for whom they may obey. Now, that's another teaching. But you're going to see all this tie-in gamblers. And gamblers are risk takers, so they tend to be loose in doctrine, loose in understanding. They're sexual addicts and everything. So I'm trying to get you to see a principle here. And it may be because of your forefathers. That's why you're not delivered. So the madams there, and they did an exhaustive research spanning 2 decades, and they began to tell their stories to this author who wrote a book about the gambling situation that was taking place in our city. And just for the sake of time, because you can find it on the internet called the James Commission, they brought in lots of people to jail on this. There's an area in town called Crockett Street. Now, every one of us, most of the times in our city, we have a little area where they shot dice or they had poker or prostitution way back, but most of those things have been swept under the rug. We don't know about it. But there was a building on Crockett Street. It was built in 1914. It was owned by a former mayor. And in the 1940s, the building was home to Joe's Barbershop. And it was a typical 1940s barbershop. And then he shaved, he did massages and shoe shines. Then after his father moved out, some new patrons came in. And the building was part of the red light district in the 1950s and the 1960s. Excuse me, this is in kind of light red color. I can't hardly see it. The building was home to the Buoy or Domino Club, an illegal gambling venue which catered to customers from throughout the region. You're talking about prostitution and gambling. My senior pastor, Brother Dean, knows all about it because he's been telling me over the years. And the club was raided on December 3rd, 1961, as part of the investigative committee of the 57th legislature of the state of Texas, James Commission, cracked down on gambling, prostitution, and other illegal activities in downtown Bowman. Where and who are the descendants of this widespread satanic corruption venture today? Now, that's just in our city. I don't know about what happened in your city. I don't know who your forefathers were. They may not have been involved. People, addictions are associated with all forms of gambling. You're not strong enough to control this demon. Every time that a Christian gambles, the demons get stronger and stronger inside these individuals. You might say, I only scratch. And you suddenly get your name scratched out of the Lamb Book of Life, too. It's only $1, Brother Jim. People, this principality has built itself a territorial habitation in the souls of men. Played out in the natural realm, purely based upon risk. I believe that this demon considers itself the devil's Bible. Risk being faith, and the players being his disciples. The list of different types of gambling is endless, because today betting is so common, a friendly race among children outside of a classroom at school can turn into a bet for a Snicker bar or some bubblegum. Everybody wants reward. It then creeped into the church, too. That same spirit, risk-taking, then creeped into the... I'm sitting down here. I know my pastor's recovering. I was here last week. He's doing fine. But I wasn't going to move. The man of God is there. I wasn't even going to move up my seat. Patty had to call me up here. They got people just, hey, that's the man of God. My whole life in him. You got people like that right now. I'm going to find out who in here. I don't care. I'll let God work that out. There are many types of gambling in our country and abroad. Everything from the bucket bets, at Wall Street, to the suburbs, to the front porches, shooting dice, and into the alleys. A lot of gambling going on, legal and illegal. And how about bingo? Bingo has to be affecting some people. You know, maybe it's affecting somebody's concept of church. That was the individuals that went on a boat trip. And they were out fishing in the Gulf, and the seas got to the point where it was hurricane-type winds, and they began throwing over the tackle, And they knew that they were in a desperate situation, so throwing over the water, everything, just keep that boat float. So they figured if it float, they, you know, if it flipped, they could at least hold on to it. So they had to take all the weight off of it, let go of the engine and the whole works. Pretty bad situation for three guys, you know. I've been out in the water. I haven't really faced any hard winds, but I faced, well, my son was like seasick and stuff like that. I looked at him, I said, eat some peanuts or something, do something. I ain't going in. But anyway, because I love my babies, I'll take them in. But, so anyway, they're out on this water here, and it's a real desperate situation. And they said, well, we better do something. Well, this is really a serious situation. They said, well, we've got to do something. Well, I said, well, we got to pray. And one guy said, well, anybody in here know how to pray? And the guy said, well, yeah, I think I do. We got to do something. It's a real desperate situation. So the guy said, okay, well, then you pray then. We got to do something. He said, okay, B5, I-16, N-42. So I don't know how much bingo is influencing the neighbors. I know that's a little bit, you know, broad, you know, assumption there and a little bit of humor. But I did it intentionally so that for those of us that may take light of it, of a little bingo game. Somebody can take time out to make a joke of it. Certainly it might have been somebody was naive enough to believe it. In fact, there are certain faiths, a couple of mainline denominations that traditionally set aside days for gambling. Although the religious authorities of these groups generally disapprove of gambling to some extent. How about television and how it's put poker on the map? Oh, poker is a big boy. TV, thousands watching them playing that poker, making that next move. I mean, you know, we can't even sit in front of a soap opera that much. We can't wait to find out what's going to happen tomorrow. But they sit down there for an hour and watch poker. Then there's internet poker, thousands of dollars. Video poker. Somebody getting this DVD, somebody around the country, somebody around the world. Even though I'm singing to the choir here today, somebody is participating in gambling and they just never really gave it much consideration. It's sin. It's video poker. The deck of cards in itself. People, a king that invented the deck of cards was demonized. For his entire purpose was to discredit the Bible and Jesus Christ, who's pictured as a joker in the deck of cards. I went back there and found this book because I couldn't find mine at the house the other night, because I was probably gone almost every night. And in this particular booklet, number booklet 8, there's only two left on the table back on the bookshelf over there. There may be some back in the book storage. What is the strange fascination which captures so many hours and dollars? Is it the gain, greed for gain or recreation? Although these may be incidentally involved, there is a force at work behind the cards, which is far more sinister than the players ever suspect. Most card addicts do not know, pity pack, that each of these 52 cards have a secret meaning. There's a reason why good people have always looked upon cards with suspicion and uneasiness. They are tainted with dishonesty and indecency. Nicknames for the deck of cards include the Devil's Bible, the Devil's Picture Book. There was a time when the church took a strong stand against the card game. I'm going to jump on down to the first deck of cards was made in 1392 for the insane French King Charles. The inventor evidently hated God and the Bible and designed a message in the cards which was the exact opposite of the truth of Scripture. This is why it is common to find decks of cards possessed by prostitutes, gamblers, thieves, murderers, and caravans, brothels, prisons, insane asylums, gambling dens, but not at a prayer meeting, I don't think. We assume not at a prayer meeting. Okay. The king represents Satan, prince of darkness, usurper, and foe of the Lord Jesus Christ. The 10 card is for the spirit of lawlessness in opposition to moral law in the Word of God. Closely associated with the 10 card is the club card. In the 1300s, of course, clubs were the chief weapons used by murderers. Therefore, this suit represents the spirit of murder and death by violence. We have a lot of young people here, so they get into Revelation. I had to teach my children. You know, we got into deliverance, got saved, and I had children that were not quite teenagers yet. And so I can remember over the years them bringing me their cards and bringing me their Nintendo games because they love their daddy and mama. I can remember my son coming and saying, about the cards, you know? So it's good to have these little $2 book. It might cost $4 now, but 15 years ago it was $2. All right? And I remember having this stuff at my house to tell my children. So then they would go tell their classmates, you know. I mean, they have wisdom. They know we're spirit-filled, so they know they can just bust in the door at school and tell everybody you're going to hell. All right. But my son was an athlete. My daughters were pretty sharp, so, you know, they had good contact. And people, everybody wanted to come spend the night at our house. But then my children wanted to go spend the night out, too. Got to watch that. Amen. That's another teaching. The queen represent Mary, a mother of Jesus, but in the court language, she is called Mother of Harlots. Let me jump again. The joker represents Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Joker means fool, and therefore Jesus is held up to ridicule. Not only this, but the joker is said to be the offspring of Jack and Queen, Mother of the Harlots. And so all of the cards, all of the other cards have hidden, obscene, and blasphemous meanings. And so this information is readily available to you. Some of you were developing and being prepared for ministry. All of you have ministry in you. And so having these little tools set aside in your Bible library or in your office for that hour when someone comes with a question is what these resources are here for. And hopefully they'll be a blessing to you. I couldn't imagine why you wouldn't. I got books that go way back. So hopefully that helped you a little bit. Then there are the casinos and their fabulous television commercials. Very seducing. Smiling men and women clad in very appealing garments to the world and inviting you in these glares that you can come and you're going to make it. You know, gamblers have that kind of religious look, too. They got that smile. We're going to the gambling casino. They also got one when they lose it, too. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Some of them got that smile. Hey, man, I hit. Well, okay. You hit all right. Jackpot. Then there's state lotteries. I don't know. Most of all states have state lotteries. Not all of them, but. Then there's sport betting. Oh, my goodness. And then some of us just get out of control. It's all right to go on eBay and bid on something because you need something, but you on there every week. So you got eBay addictions. And then, of course, there's the dice games. I don't know how many of you play dice. Innocent game, I know, but trust me, it's very deceptive. And so there's dice games, and in the state of Texas, it's legal to have dice games on your front porch. Cops pass by, can't tell you nothing. As long as you're orderly, everybody's on their knees, everybody looks like a prayer meeting from a distance. Then there's internet gambling. Oh yeah, millions of dollars are spent on the internet, on people gambling on the internet. And then if that's not too much for Christians to get involved in, how about there's dog racing? Of course, I've been to all of them. Trotter racing, horse racing. I've been out there with the thoroughbreds. I've been out there when it seemed like the wind was blowing. Everybody saying we're gonna make it, and then we could barely make it home. We had to borrow money for gas. Then there's eight liners and slot machines, and then. You know where you find most of those eight lines of slot machines? In the small neighborhood stores where our children go buy their candy and soda pop at while we out in the yard cutting the lawn. They're right next door. They're in there. Ching, 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 ching. They just happen to be putting them all in the neighborhood stores. Eight liners and slot machines. Slowly sneaking into the store. Because we don't hardly go there because we're going to go to the Kroger's or Albertsons. But we tell them to run in there and grab a bag of chips. And they're sitting there, people sitting down there going, yeah, I'm going to win, all right. If that's not entertaining enough, of course, some gamblers, you know, they've gotten to the point where they end up pit bull fights to the death, rooster fights to the death. Then there's men fighting in cages on television. I find very little difference. So that's visible there. So when I'm in the shower, the children can cut on the TV and see the men whooping each other's head in the cage. We don't know what they're going to be whooping on in about another 100 years. It might be the Christians, unless we take it back. We gotta start fighting. We can't fight it. We got all this stuff in us. We gotta get it all out of us. So we don't compromise. People, the numbers racket hadn't stopped. Big number. Y'all seen the Capone shows and all of that back in the early 1900s. Wall Street buckets from the 1900s. They still exist. Still a lot of numbers going on. The schools. And what I'm telling you now, these are facts. These are not makeup, make-believe. These are things that I am aware of that has happened. In schools, children are selling extra sandwiches in their lunch kits and other home items for profit. They convince their parents that they're just very hungry. But they actually sell it. They actually bring extra sandwiches to school and they sell them for money. Okay. Well, I know for a fact that in the middle schools, many children are introduced to loan sharks amongst their peers who offer them cash at enormous interest rates. They might be able to get a quarter and they have to pay back a dollar. If you think I'm playing, I have children, I have nephews, and they started coming into the ministry and the deliverance, and they were telling me what was going on. They told me what they did. Now, so I'm not talking about third party reference here. I'm talking about I'm bringing them in, casting the demons out. They manifest, and they told me, Uncle Jim, that's what I was doing. I'm a long shot. 9, 10, 12, 13 years old. They was in the 7th, 8th, 9th grade when this was going on. So just send them on to school. Don't deal with your past gambling situation. They're more susceptible to get involved in the long sharks. He said, can't be happening in school. Duh. Boy, you just don't have a clue. Some of us got kind of older in our age, and we just done lost touch with the youth. Long sharks are in there. They don't think anything of it. They're not like mafia. They're just trying to make a profit on their two bits. Then at last, not common, is, of course, that's them scratch cards. Boy, I don't know about y'all. I travel a lot. Probably been gone out of last eight weeks, gone at least six. And so they got these scratch cards, and what happens is you're paying for gas. So you don't use a credit card, then you go inside the store, and you stand in line because you're going to be in line for a few minutes unless they got a separate line because the scratches are there. And it usually be about two or three deep. Which line you was in last time? Many people say they gamble just for fun. And this might be true because people, you know, drink, they dance, smoke, swear, they live immoral lives, too, just for fun. The Bible says that sin is pleasure for a season. It's a very short season, though, and the hell that follows makes it a poor risk or a poor deal all around. Now, some of you haven't really truly dealt with this sin, dealt with it from a perspective of a generational curse, from a perspective that it might be the problem that's causing poverty into your life today. The Midianite spirits are attacking you. Midianites are just one of the principalities in the Old Testament that that brought impoverishment on the Israelites. You find that in Judges. And I believe that some of the demons that are attacking young Christians and cause them to be deceived by risk religious spirits. And these risk religious spirits place great emphasis on signs and wonders and great spiritual manifestations. It's because the risk-taking demons have never really been dealt with in many of these individuals when they were in the world. Now, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, although God had delivered them from bondage, they still had a lot of bondage in them. In other words, they still had a lot of Egypt that was still in them. And my question to you and I, who are the believers today that still have this tendency in them? When you've walked in deliverance for a season, you're going to, someone will mention zodiac signs such as Pisces, that's one of them, yeah. And you might have been that in the world, but you won't even do anything. You have to think for a second. And if you had to think for a second, it was heads or tails, you suspect. May not mean anything to you. I got to get you to the point where you really want to see if there's anything left in there. I know you've been living for God because this is a deliverance work. And so we know that you've been in this business for a season. But it's the small foxes that get us, people. Little things that we just kind of sort of let go. It eats at us. Matthew, the 10th chapter. I'm going to be reading in the Amplified. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 29 and 30 says, "Are not two little sparrows sold for a penny? And yet, not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's consent and notice. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." See, people, in God's word emphasizes the sovereignty of God. But gambling is based upon chance. It's based upon chance. How close can you get to the wall? How close can you get? I win! In Ephesians 4 chapter, verse 28, says, "Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he might be able to give to those in need." The Bible admonishes us to work creatively and for the benefit of others, while gambling fosters a something-for-nothing attitude. Gambling operates under the greater sucker principle, which teaches, you lose, I win. Sucker. Well, a Christian, boy, that really looks good for a Christian to think that way. Well, it's only a raffle, Brother Jim. I mean, it's only $2, and whoever wins is going to get a deer rifle. What do I need a deer rifle for?
in the first place. That's letting you know.
Oh, never mind. Gambling destroys the work ethic. And of course, in the Colossians 3:23, the Apostle Paul says, whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, which is your real reward. The one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Christ, the Messiah, Amplified. And of course, as I began earlier in the text, in 2 Thessalonians 3:7 and 10, he says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he should not eat. Now let me ask you a question. How many families has been destroyed because of this evil spirit? How many mouths have went out without food, have been neglected because of the demon of gambling inside of a man or a woman in the family? Huh? Some of you know what I'm talking about here. Only God knows the numbers. For gambling is a major cause of family neglect. And the Bible says that a person who refuses to care for his family is worse than an infidel. I can assure you that the gambling can see us a fool tonight as we celebrate the Labor Day weekend. The Bible teaches that Christians ought to love their fellow man. In gambling, one has to hope the worst for his fellow man in order to gather the best for himself. Many Christians will tell you that someone gave them the winning ticket. True. Wonder why this always seems to be the norm. Somebody gave it to me. Even though that's true. That they don't gamble. True. And what should they have done with the earnings from the ticket? Because they did pay tithes. I was asked this question overseas last year. And I was at a church I oversee in one of the countries. And this was a kind of, I had just gotten finished doing a week's crusade. It was real late. I was tired. But all of the members of the local church came there to meet with me. So I just said, pull a chair up. And there's a nice group of people. And they sit down and they asked questions. And then I taught a short message. They asked some more questions. And I blessed the congregation. I got a question from one of the people in the audience about someone who gave them a ticket. And they tied it off of it. But they still felt a little challenged by it, and they asked me, what should I do? And I put my head down and asked the Lord what to tell them. The Lord said, tell them to give it all. Now, the problem is with that is that God may have trusted them to give it all to the work in the first place. However, they kept some, and what they normally keep is the 90%. You give God the 10. Maybe God may have done that, not to put them in arm's way, but because he's trying to put $100,000 into this ministry over here. And he trusted them enough to give it all to that ministry, free themselves of it. But they gave him the 10, kept the 90. Ooh, pretty good wager there, wasn't it? Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Deceitful riches, money, possessions. You can't serve God in scratch cards, lottery, football parlays, basketball parlays, innocent, everybody put in $5 at the jar, Super Bowl parlays. Everybody attacked me at work. Come on! They say, come on, Rail! Preachers gamble! One of the most prosperous churches in our area, the pastor, who I knew personally years ago, graduated from seminary in Switzerland. Community activists, because we have a lot in our city with the James Commission coming there, and many of our mayor went to the prison. We have a whole lot in our community. Jerry, I feel like I better not go there. Well, anyway, he made an announcement, and they put it in the paper, so if anybody else want to go, that they were taking all the people that want to go to the gambling casino just because they got the church buses. And y'all can go with us. So I said, I told my wife, I said, were they going to eat? All you can eat, you know? And she said, no, they're going to gamble. Said, oh my goodness. So there are some mainline, and this is mainline denominational church. And they pack their people up in the buses and they just go right there to Lake Charles and they go to gamble. Ding, 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 ding. Some of y'all familiar with that sign?
You can hear sometimes in the 7-Eleven or the stores when you're driving through cities. You can hear them back there pulling, you know, the smoking and ding, 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 ding. It's just a sound, boy, I tell you, it just does something to some people, you know. And, that's a Christian, a professed Christian there, that's, and all those people going down there to gamble. The Bible condemns materialism while gambling promotes it. So are we helping society and promoting this evil work? Well, if we are, then we're being demoted in God's work. Then in the 10th commandment of Exodus 20, chapter verse 17, the scripture says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his mule. This is the 10th commandment of God. Nor anything that is thy neighbor's. God knew that gambling would breed a form of covetousness. And this commandment of God admonishes us not to covet. Coveting, greed, selfishness are the base emotions that entice you to gamble or take a risk. Now, whether that's gambling, sexual sins, alcoholism, and we can cover this in much great detail because there are a lot of other family of spirits working there. Rejection. Dr. Noe's book would really help you. I heard Dr. Noe's book preached all day today because all of the manipulation and the false prophets and a lot of stuff is maha or haba haba magic, which is witchcraft. Camouflaging itself as prophecy, and it's really magic. And but anyway, I believe Christians should be concerned about gambling, if for no other reason than the effect it has on the weaker brother. If you think this is not important, about 10 years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, one of my mentors, who worked closely associated with me, who's gone to be with the Lord now, went to a gas station in our city and bought a lottery ticket, scratch card, etc. And this young lady who waited on him used to be a member of our church. And I don't know if she left after that or before that. She doesn't seem to be bitter. She always called me like her spiritual daddy. I kind of raised them up. They had no daddy. And she lives out of town now, but she told me, she said, Brother Jim, Brother so-and-so, and this was like a few years later, I was teaching her about gambling or something, she was saying, well, Brother Jim, Brother so-and-so came in and bought the ticket from us. And she didn't say it in the bill, it just came out because she was a young woman, 18, 19 at the time. She's probably 28, 30 now. And it just came out. So you think a person working with you in deliverance, counseling men and women, breaking curses, generational curses, traveling to several countries around the world, didn't think nothing of going inside the store and buying a lottery, and didn't know he was buying it from one of the members of our church, and he was one of the working in leadership with me. I have no judgment against him at all about that, because he might have had liberty to get away with it. But I never would have thought that this young lady would have been the victim that was present at the time of his action. Okay? Now, she's doing fine and all that, but I've never talked to her about that again. It's just something I'll never forget, you know, when I'm working and training our ministers. Before I came to know Jesus Christ, we had these all-night poker games. I seldom won anything. And I had this habit of wearing these dark shades. And I didn't know that it cost me thousands of dollars because all the players that were opposite of me, all they had to do was look at my shades and see my hands. I mean, thousands of dollars. I mean, thousands. I can tell you the man who got me all the money. I know who he is today. And then gambling. Then when I always had nice new cars and stuff because I worked and I was in the world. And you can't be in the world and not figure out how to hustle and do whatever you can to try to please the flesh. And I had, God bless me, with good jobs. But I remember having my big car sitting out there in the driveway. My friends, I was, dad was a doctor. Dad had died though. And we having them all night poker games and they just winning all my hands. I'm like, man, we always lose. I'm watching, trying to figure out they're gaming up on me. What's the deal here? Then I go out and somebody go on my car, steal my shotgun. I forget I left my keys on the table and I go to the bathroom. Oh, man, somebody stole my... Oh, man, they got you, Jimmy. You just be so dull. And you're so caught up in what you done lost, you don't even have enough sense to know your friend just stole your gun. Or whatever you had in your car. You know, you just never even suspect them because that's your buddy. Same ones that come borrow money from you all the time, too. They say they lost last night. You can give them a helping hand. You and the clique. Birds of the same feather flock together. So, I mean, I was real easy. I was real easy. And then we used to go to the racetracks. Oh, man, the racetrack, just like on TV. We had that smiles. And my best friend that I ran to the racetrack then, guess what his name was and what was on his license plate? Sweet Jesus. Lord, forgive me for blaspheming your name. And wore his hair, and I had that long hair, permed out. And we both had convertibles. Amen. I don't know. In some nations, they might not want to call me an apostle anymore, because I'm not trying to be. We were just joking about that earlier. He said, you want to accept what you are? I don't want to be nothing like that. I just want to be Jim. But, because after they hear this, I don't know what they're going to say. But, anyway, so me and Sweet Jesus, and Lord forgive me for using the name, this is a characterization here to, it was another Jesus. What is Jesus? The Lord Jesus Christ. We'd go to the Friday night horse races. We'd drive about 45 miles to get there, and we would generally come back depressed. We always, he always had the winning number. He knew the trainer. He knew the owner. You know, and so, you know, and I had a good job. He had a good job. So we dropped hundreds of dollars at the racetracks. And one time I did win about $1,800. And most time we lost. But I clearly remember that my car was hit downtown by 2 or 3 in the morning. I was in the right. The police officers gave me the ticket. No big deal. That's just the way it was back then. And it cost me $1,800 to fix my car. Yeah, it went away just that quick. Oh, that's how I got saved, too, by the way. Not that incident, but another incident that dealt with figures. I was doing the math on me being drinking and partying every month, and I realized I couldn't pay my bills, and I gave my life to Jesus. Okay, that's another story. And math wasn't my street either. That happened in my car in the shop, so I'm riding with him to the racetrack the next week. And, of course, we lose again. We're on the way back. And an owl comes in. I didn't know this was pretty often that happens now on the highways, but an owl flew into his radiator, stopped his van right there on the spot. Fire! Shut him down, so we had to catch a ride back to Beaumont, Texas. We out of town. Okay, that experience, coupled with the fact that I won $1,800 had to pay for my, and my dad was sitting in my face already telling me, son, you don't need to do all this. And my dad was sending people to the nightclubs to get me. This guy, I retired from ExxonMobil. This guy, I told people that, yeah, my dad just sent Harvey into the club to get me because he couldn't trust nobody else to come in there and maybe get me out of there. Because I went for bad, and I was in martial arts and gun crazy. So, we're preaching. You know what I'm talking about over there. But anyway, and so when you crazy like that, you don't even know when somebody's going to knock you in the head. My brother pulled people off me. I didn't know they were going to hit me. So I just thank God for my brother. And so those two experiences that week, or within that 2 week period, caused me to stop going to the racetrack. I knew God was doing something in my life, and I could tell that whoever he was, wherever he was, that he was protecting me, and I stopped cold turkey at the racetracks. I knew God was telling me something. And I told him, Sweet Jesus, or whatever. He didn't have a clue. It was like la la land to him, but I had been brought up in the fear of God. My mom had taught me things, but I didn't, you know, I was going to do what I wanted to do, you know. And so I knew God was protecting me, but I still continued to play poker for a long time, all night games, you know. We fall out here at 9:30, 10 o'clock, we just tired, we get bored of deliverance. And I stayed out, we go to a poker game at 5 o'clock and finish up the next day at 9 or 10 in the morning. So my question is, what he told you about scratch cards? What he told you about the dollar lottery? What he told you about those things? Well, how about the Jack in the Box commercial? Some kind of game there, some kind of winning chance associated with some kind of drink, and you tie off the strip and everybody running in front of the Jack mascot stripping their clothes off. What are they telling our children? It's not just some innocent thing that's taking place here. It's some risk involved here. You got to get the right number, but everybody wants. So what is that all about? It's in our society. It may not be bothering you right now because you're going on for Jesus. Until you have to wait 6 weeks to be able to save up some money to buy some shoes because every time you get ready to pay for it, a water leak, car need a tune-up, or you always got maintenance problems, but your great-granddaddy, who you don't even know, might have ran the numbers. Because that's what the norm in the 1900s. That was the norm. Everybody went down there, waged their bets. Just recently, there was a study on TV about the wagers, the hedgers, that made bets against AIG and other big companies, and people have made millions of dollars because they bet that these companies would fall. And they fail. And so we have an economy out there, and we have a people out there that's putting in bets that certain business enterprises were going to fall and fail. And they did. I didn't even know you could make a bet like that. People made millions of dollars on small bets. Small pennies on a dollar. They become millionaires. Most of them are already millionaires. I didn't know anything about that. And the Coors Light Beer wants you to play their game to win the Super Bowl tickets. So you gotta play the game. You gotta play the game, people. You gotta get in the game to play the game with Coors Light Beer. Coors Light Beer got all kind of foul commercials. But in the church, there tends to be a growing tendency among Christians, adults, and youth to engage in various forms of gambling also. Especially lottery, raffles, and many more. In the church, folk. Might be some of us here today that thought nothing of it. It is the basic nature of unregenerate mankind to desire far more than they input. It's kind of like a principle of giving. We just want to give a little bit, but we want a whole lot from God. This is the essence of gambling, which consists of a bet on an uncertain outcome. Gambling is a form of speculation, risk-taking, wagering, betting, and has a tendency to stir and strengthen any element of unconquered soulish greed, pride, and utter bondages. Some persons with sex addiction demons have this spirit. They're whoremongers. They like to gamble and conquering of another victim. They don't want marriage, but power over their victims. And people, so there are all type of scenarios here where the risk-taking spirits are manifesting. All kind of people visit gatherings, conferences, and even here. So if you're looking for a mate, all we got is Jesus. This is not the place, trust me. We're exposing the enemy, and they'll take advantage of men and women. And I would take advantage of you too if I was in the world. And not everybody is saved. Don't you think everybody is saved? So be so naive. I hope that they were. So don't call me up 6 months from now and say, Pastor Landry, you over to work, you're on the board of directors, and how could you let so-and-so-so do take advantage of me? Were you in bed at 11 o'clock like you were supposed to be? Why were you riding around here? Why were you walking and having a strong conversation with Brother Joe? Risk takers. Proverbs the 15th chapter, verse 27 says, he that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. Proverbs 16:8 says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Proverbs the 30th chapter, verse 8 and 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 24. You shall not serve God and mammon, money. Philippians 4:11, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. People, if we are content in God, he will exalt us in due time. 1 Timothy 6 chapter verse 10 says, for the lust or the love of money is the root of all evil. Why would any Christian desire that their needs be supplied by taking a risk at the misfortune of others? Well, it's only a dollar, you know, it's a million people playing this game. I'm not hurt nobody. I done lost just as much as they have. Poor excuse. Bad answer. Now, this could be a generational curse. Sins of the forefathers that have caused money investments, financial issues, and sudden losses of money and resources that were destined for you to be taken away by the Midianites and other demonic powers because of the sins of your past revisiting you or the sins of your forefathers who were involved in bribes and money laundering and any number of things that have to do with risk-taking, wagering, and betting. And so we need to break that legal hold. And my question might be, how many of you know what your great-great-grandfather was doing many years ago? Do you know if he didn't play the numbers, or did he play the numbers in the 1900s? I can tell you just very few that didn't play the numbers. They crossed all racial lines. Very few that didn't play the numbers, people. I'm going to lead you in a renunciation prayers.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.